Let's be honest. I make zero sense sometimes. That's why I've created this podcast giving you 2 cents of my sports knowledge. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the 2 cents podcast. I am Michael Carbonellis for the debut episode here, 1 month before we were supposed to air it. So I mentioned that it was going to be in 2017 on my Twitter page. And understandably, you are correct if you thought the same. However, there is just so much to get to. I decided to give you something for Christmas, although I don't celebrate the holiday. So, today, I've got a Star Wars Rogue One review. I've got Tom Brady talk. I've got violence talk. And I've got Pro Bowl talk. Along with Warriors, you name it, all this stuff, I've got it right here. So without further ado, I'm going to start off this first ever podcast. Now, usually I'm going to do something called 2 pennies. I'm going to give 1 cent to somebody that I think is not making enough news. I'm going to give the second penny to somebody else. And I'm thinking about adding a second penny, like adding a third penny to say like, hey guys, you know, this is for the fans. And the fans, you guys are... I'm thinking about giving you guys a little opportunity if this podcast gets big enough. But you know what? We're off and we're running. We're just going to get right into it. So I'm going to talk all kinds of sports. I'm going to talk the media sometimes. I'm going to talk all this kind of stuff on this podcast. Mainly sports, though. Let's start off with Blake Griffin out. Now, Blake Griffin, of course, we all know how good of a player he is for the Los Angeles Clippers. Well, he has injured himself with, I believe it's like something on his leg, like a knee or something like that. And anyways, Blake Griffin is hurt. He'll be out for a little while. I believe it's like 4 weeks or something like that. Anyways, he's out for a little while, missing at least 5 games, let's just say that. Now, earlier this season, about probably 2 weeks ago, the Clippers were obliterated by the Golden State Warriors. The first thing I saw watching that game was that Blake Griffin, although he is an exceptional player, a top 10 player in the NBA hands down, especially with a jump shot that the guy's developed. I had to tweet it and say, Blake Griffin needs to be traded or signed by somebody else. Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan mesh so well together. J.J. Redick is such an unselfish player, gives his all 100% of the time. They have so much talent on that team. Blake Griffin is no exception. But the chemistry that they try to develop with Blake is not there. You see Chris Paul having career numbers all season long. I've got stats to back it up if you want me to in the next podcast. But here's the thing. Blake Griffin has these isolation plays called for him that I do not approve of at all. I'm talking, we got team basketball against the Golden State Warriors. But then all of a sudden, you'll see Blake Griffin just get a random ISO play. The problem with an ISO play, not only is it an isolation play with a team that's supposed to have such great chemistry for over these 5 years that they've been together, you've got him passing the ball 50% of the time at least. It's like he doesn't even take a shot. He doesn't attack. He just sits there, pulls up for an awkward jumper, or he passes it out to somebody that's a broken possession. I see it all the time with this Clippers team. I am the one who said the Clippers were going to make the NBA Finals, and I completely rescinded that and just said, forget about it, I'm stupid, I don't know why I thought that. Doc Rivers looks like a bad coach right now, not necessarily because of Blake Griffin, because of the system that's in place involving Blake Griffin. And I do believe that they are better without him, let's just say that. But remember in the commercial with Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan, it's like the only commercial that the Clippers are in together. It's DeAndre Jordan sitting across the restaurant from Blake Griffin, and they're like ketchup bottles talking to each other, like just saying stupid crap to each other, like, and they're in an argument for crying out loud. You see DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul have all sorts of commercials together, and I have no idea why Blake Griffin is never involved. Blake Griffin gets his own Kia commercial. My big thing with Blake Griffin, I would love to see with the Miami Heat team that I root for. I believe Hassan Whiteside is going to leave. That's the story topic for another podcast, possibly episode 2 or even episode 3. But I'm just going to say this. Blake Griffin needs to be a superstar on a team. Sometimes with the Clippers, he becomes like a second option. He becomes a third option at times. And I don't think Blake needs to be second fiddle or third fiddle. Blake needs to be the number one option 90% of the time. He's like Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant doesn't mind being a third option or second option sometimes. But Russell Westbrook, they always clashed at times. It seemed like they had a great chemistry, but really Russell Westbrook has not lost a step. Neither has Kevin Durant. Russell Westbrook is a guy who needs his own team. When you look at Blake Griffin, he needs a team built around himself and not other players. And I think this Clippers team was basically built around the big three and not around one player. If any player was Chris Paul, it was not Blake Griffin. They may have drafted Blake at number one, but I'm sure the option was never to go to Blake now that you see what they've done with it. They've completely turned it around into being like this big three. It's not a big three, though. Blake has developed his jump shot and still cannot be a team player guy. He likes to ISO. He does not like catch and shoot. And with team basketball, you have to catch and shoot a lot of times, and he's just not being able to do it. So that's my first topic I've ever gotten onto on the Two Cents podcast. Next up is hashtag make America's team great again. I'm not going to get into politics with this. I'm just simply saying, nor am I calling the Dallas Cowboys America's team. But when I made the slogan up, yes, I did base it off of Donald Trump's Make America Great Again, which is obviously copyrighted. So I did a little spin-off called Make America's Team Great Again. Ever since I saw, and this is before the 10-game win streak that the Cowboys went on. The Cowboys are now 12-2, having beaten the Buccaneers 26-20. Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott are playing exceptionally well. Zeke Elliott is a stud. I've said it since 2 years before he entered the draft, when he ran all over Alabama, ran all over the best teams in college football on their way to a national championship. The first thing everybody said was, Cardale Jones, Cardale Jones. You know, is Cardale Jones an NFL quarterback? And where the heck is he at now? I have not seen him. I may have like seen a stat from him sometimes, but I don't see Cardale Jones doing anything in the NFL right now. Zeke Elliott in his first year is dominating. He's putting the running back in running back. He's putting the team on his shoulders. And Dak Prescott, oh boy. Boy, Dak Prescott is not what he does, it's what he doesn't do. Dak Prescott does not make a mistake. And it's phenomenal with the way that he plays. When you look at a running quarterback, you know, I saw him in Mississippi State. I never cared for him because in Mississippi State, they were always running the option. They ran running plays for Dak Prescott. It looked like he was just another running quarterback. He is shown in the NFL, not only is he a runner, but he runs smart. Something that Rob Griffin III, Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, and Mike Vick, they never did. They never ran smart with the ball. Dak Prescott always looks to pass. He's like Aaron Rodgers, except a little bit more mobile. Probably a little bit more willing to run. But Aaron Rodgers is a guy who can throw the football down the field. Now, I'm not comparing Dak to Aaron Rodgers right now in NFL history. I'm not saying that at all in the NFL timeline. I'm just saying, in general, when you look at Dak Prescott's game, it's very smart. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks, if not the smartest quarterback, that may have ever played, and it's only his first year in the NFL. What an exceptional duo those two have become. They've taken Dez Bryant out of the conversation. As much as Dez would like to go on to be that guy, Tony Romo, all he did was throw to Dez Bryant. Dak Prescott is bringing my guy Cole Beasley out. He's bringing Terrence Williams into a great season. He's got Jason Witten playing well again. I mean, this is making America's team great again as we speak. Hashtag it, baby. And by the way, let's get a little spin off on this, like a little side point on this Ezekiel Elliott talk. The dude is in conversation for MVP. I'm about to get into something else about that later on in the show. But hush with the rookie talk. So many times I've heard this season that Ezekiel Elliott is a rookie. You know, don't give it to a rookie. You know what? The dude's on fire. I say he's putting the run back in running back. He's no longer just a halfback for him, although he is a two-way player, not as much so as the Cardinals' David Johnson, but Ezekiel Elliott is a stud nonetheless, and he has just shown us why running backs were still successful. I believe they're like the number three. Was he like the number three pick this year? Boy, Ezekiel Elliott has been a steal in the draft, better than Jared Goff to me. I know we haven't seen Jared Goff much, but in terms of a fit for a team, I think the Cowboys got a lot better fit for their team in Jared Goff I mean, Ezekiel Elliott. Then the Rams got in Jared Goff, because obviously Goff's maybe traded. I'm just saying. Next up, the Golden State Warriors are beatable, and I'm going to tell you why. Kevin Durant is playing the best defense, and he has no defense in the first place. This team is going to outscore you, and that is it. They're going to outscore you. They're not going to make... I understand that Draymond Green has made a few defensive plays late in these games recently. You know what? Just give me a break with that stupid talk, okay? Do not tell me that Draymond Green's a great... That makes the Warriors' defense great. Steph Curry can steal a few passes. Anybody can jump a pass lane in games. It's just whether who's willing to do it, okay? Draymond Green is not good. He never was. He's a Michigan State guy who's a product of every team he plays on. Yes, he brings the fire. You know what? Joakim Noah brings the fire, too. And we're not talking to Joakim Noah. Because Draymond Green is on the Golden State Warriors, we're talking about Draymond Green. I'm just saying. It's true. It's like Nate Robinson. Remember when he was at the Bulls? We were always talking about Nate Robinson when they were winning. But whatever happened when Nate Robinson were losing? I mean, it was... Well, he wasn't good anymore, really? No. So, and also Steph Curry is struggling. Last time I checked his stats, he's an average 44% three-point shooter. With the addition of Kevin Durant, as easier as that sounds, he's dropped to 40% and may have even dropped even lower. Klay Thompson is the one who had a 60-point game. Kevin Durant is the one getting the offense going after it was 4-2, 6 minutes into the game against the Jazz last night, okay? I'm just letting you guys know now, Steph Curry is struggling, and he is no longer the best player in the world. Not saying he ever was, but for those of you that said he is, he has threes, and that's it. Kyrie Irving showed us in the finals. Kyrie Irving, of all people, showed us in the NBA Finals on how easy it is to just man up Steph Curry, and you take away his whole game. His brother Seth is better than he is playing for the Dallas Mavericks. He's more physical inside. Steph just simply does not have it. I don't care if you're pulling up from half court in pregame. You're not going to – their coaches – no coach in history has called that or will ever call that in a game. I don't care who you are. You're not going to call that unless it's like 2 seconds left on the clock and you're starting from the backcourt. But the Warriors are beatable. How about some Major League Baseball talk? I'm the one who predicted the Cubs to win the World Series before the season started. And I'm going to say – I'm not going to predict it yet – but I believe that my Boston Red Sox will make a run. Now, I don't know how much of a talk this is around Major League Baseball. I understand that I may be a little bit under the weather when it comes to Major League Baseball talk. It's not like I'm some insider like I want to be with the NBA and the NFL, mostly the NBA. It's Chris Sale. The White Sox pitcher has gone to the Boston Red Sox. Chris Sale is going to get us at least 8 strikeouts a game, and at time he may hit 13 strikeouts in a game. Chris Sale is a starting pitcher that we thought, well, the Red Sox thought was going to be David Price. David Price, of course, that Tampa Bay Rays pitcher who came over from the Blue Jays and was just, you know, he was supposed to be the guy, and you know what, give me a break. Rick Porcello outplayed David Price. I don't know how much of that was steroids, I'm just saying. But you know what? I am so happy that we got Chris Sale, because Chris Sale is in his prime right now. I mean, all we got to add is Corey Kluber, and we could win like 120 games in a season. I mean, we could be that good. But Chris Sale is a good pitcher, a great start for us. I don't want to go as far as Josh Beckett, but Chris Sale is up there when it comes to resurrecting our pitching. Boy, is he a big fit for our team. We need those strikeouts, because a lot of times, I said it 2 years ago, the Boston Red Sox, we literally had this thing where we would be up like 10-6 or whatever, and then like our pitching would just blow it for us. I mean, it would be like 12-10 or 12-8. I mean, we would just blow it because of our pitching. If we could get the defense, starting with the pitching, if our pitchers could just give up less than 5 runs a game, we could win a lot of our games and make the playoffs. Maybe as a number one AL East seed, well, as a division seed, I'm just saying, Chris Sale is a great fit for us. I've been waiting for a pitcher for Boston. We finally got one. And now it's time for some media talk here on the 2 Cents Podcast. I went and saw Star Wars Rogue One on Sunday. Boy, was that a good movie. I mean, that was an exceptional movie. I have a little prediction for you guys. You do realize that, like, I compared this to Lion King 1.5 because it was nowhere near that bad, I'm just saying. But, you know, like, you know, it's like we've already had, like, 2 or 3 Lion Kings, and all of a sudden this 1.5 comes out. Like, what in the world? They're basically filling a void that they, oops, I forgot to add something between episodes 1 and 2, so we're going to make a stupid spinoff. This is exactly what I was expecting to do going into this Rogue One, a Star Wars story movie. I'm expecting to say, you know what, it's the best movie out right now. We're just going to see it and hopefully it makes up for episode 8 not being this year. It almost did, I'm not going to lie. It almost made up for Star Wars episode 8 not having a thing this year. I know that we're going to drag it out 2 years apiece. But man, episode 7, it got everybody back in the Star Wars spirit. Like, I was looking at YouTube videos, the Star Wars predictions and what would happen. But Rogue One, a Star Wars story, kept me on the edge of my seat. It's a great story. I gave it a 92 out of 100. And I have a prediction. Rogue One is my second favorite Star Wars movie behind Episode 3. Now, I know what you're thinking now. You've lost all credibility, Michael. And I understand that. Nobody liked Episode 3 as much as I did. But Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is going to go down in your book as the second greatest Star Wars movie you've ever seen. Whether it's The Phantom Menace in Episode 1, The Empire Strikes Back in the original trilogy, Star Wars The Force Awakens in the Disney trilogy, or it's anything else. Rogue One, a Star Wars story, is going to go down as possibly your second favorite Star Wars movie of all time. I've talked about 2 or 3 different people so far that have seen the movie, and they've said the same thing. I just made up this little thing. I mean, it's like they're going, oh, I like Empire Strikes Back, but this one was second place. It's going to be second place in your Star Wars history. It's because, like you said, it's like a Lion King 1.5. Although it was not nearly as bad as that, it still made you wish that they had Episode 8 this year. But it was so good, and I loved what they did with the movie. 92 out of 100 for me as a movie critic is pretty darn good. I did not even like Age of Ultron from Avengers. I'm sorry, I'll get into that later on. Okay, enough of that talk. Let's get into the NFL again. You know what I found out the other day? I made like a series of tweets to Vontaze Burfict, you know, that Cincinnati Bengals bounty hunter linebacker that he is. The dude is like, he headhunted stinking Antonio Brown from the Steelers last season. I mean, I just went off on Antonio, I went off on Vontaze Burfict, okay? I did not even mention him once in my entire life on Twitter. I decided to just use his Vontaze Burfict name. Just use his full name. Now, usually, these guys have to go searching for their names and find out what people are saying. So, Vontaze Burfict either heard my podcast from my original podcast on SoundCloud, or he heard something else, or he saw one of my tweets where I just went off on him. He blocked me, and boy, have I never been happier. Because good, Vontaze, you suck too. I'm just going to say it now. I'm actually eternally grateful that a bounty hunter, an assassinator, would do that to me. Because it's like, good, I don't need you in my life. I don't want you headhunting me. I want you coming to my house and giving me a few knocks to the head. I'm glad. You suck too, Vontaze. I'm just saying, we're unfiltered here. Come on now. That I'm so happy, though. I never felt more grateful. I mean, I had Mike Mitchell retweet one of my videos that I sent. It was just a little sportsmanship thing between him and Odell Beckham, the Giants and Steelers game. I was happy about that. But I've never been happy about an NFL player doing anything to my tweets until I found out Vontaze Burfict blocked me. Thank you, Vontaze. Tom Brady for MVP, so says ESPN app and ESPN.com. Which makes me wonder, how in the world Have we played, what is it, 14 games? Of those 14 games, Tom Brady has played 10. As bad as it sounds that you missed four games, your team went, if I'm not mistaken, 2-2 in that stretch. Jimmy Garoppolo looked about the same as Tom Brady. How in the world is Tom Brady the MVP? I don't understand he could be top five. That spot. I don't care if he's number two. You mean to tell me an expert at ESPN, a senior writer at the Worldwide Leader, is going to put a guy who has missed four games, and number one in the MVP? Going by that logic, Dak Prescott could be number one when he clearly has Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield. Because his name is Tom Brady, we're going to put him at number one. I'm going to tell you why I say Dak Prescott. You know who else only has two interceptions this year with over like 20 touchdowns? A Dak Prescott. I'm just saying. You can't. It's impossible to do what this guy did. I'm sorry. I don't care if you put David Johnson with the losing Cardinals. You cannot put Tom Brady at number one. I'm sorry. Same goes for Le'Veon Bell. But nobody seems to be talking about the season that Le'Veon Bell's having. His name is Tom Brady. He deflated the footballs against my Indianapolis Colts. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. I'm just saying, though, you cannot do that. You know, Aroldis Chapman won the World Series, got the Game 7 win for the Chicago Cubs. I made up something, though, that you guys will like. Again, I have these awesome slogans I make up. Like, I am a slogan machine. You beat your wife, you get paid. I know, with domestic violence age that we are in, once again, people are not talking about it. We're no longer seeing commercials about it, which I'm perfectly fine with. But with all the crap that we've been talking about, how has nobody seen this? Aroldis Chapman played with the New York Yankees. Was, you know, he's the guy who pitches 110 miles per hour if you want to go that far. The dude's arm is exceptional. He beats the snot out of some woman. He gets released. The Chicago Cubs pick him up because, you know, hey, we need a closer. He wins the World Series dominating teams. And guess what? He then gets an $80 million contract with the Yankees again. What? What? Are you kidding me? Guys, I want you to hear me out on this. If he went to the Red Sox, if he went to the Indians, if he went to the Blue Jays, I don't care where he went. If he went to any other team, I would say, okay, good, you earned it. But because the New York Yankees picked him back up for $80 million, that is the perfect definition of you beat your wife, you get paid. These dudes, I swear to you, pay off these judges to do something to let them go. If only I had been the chosen one, I could, I mean, I'm not saying I'm a criminal, nor will I ever be one. Let's say I want to go rob a few stores. You know what? Daggone, I'm going to rob some crab legs. I'm going to rob some crab legs, okay? I'm like steal these things from a store. Instead of going to jail, I'm going to, quote, Jameis Winston has made a settlement. I'm going to make a settlement, okay? When I make a settlement, everybody forgets about what I ever did. That's called money, my friends. It's called money. You beat your wife, you get paid. Don't take that literally. Don't go at me on Twitter. I'm just saying it's true. Speaking of stuff that nobody's talked about until Jalen Rose copied my sorry tale. Question for you guys. Dale Earnhardt Jr., I've mentioned it before in previous podcasts that I've done, not the 2 cents, but Dale Earnhardt Jr., as great as that name is, and as good as he'll never be, Dale Earnhardt Jr. missed about 4 months this year for concussion, bringing Jeff Gordon out of retirement in NASCAR. Now, before you turn off this podcast and say, well, here he goes talking about NASCAR, I'm done. You know what? You stay right here. I'm going to tie this with the NFL. Now I got you wondering, well, how in the world is he going to tie this with the NFL? Why is it that unless Luke Kuechly went down crying and it looks scary on TV, why is it that if a dude has a concussion in the NFL, he literally comes back in 2 weeks? I mean, sometimes it's a week. You know, he clears concussion protocol. How do you clear concussion protocol in a week? Really? What protocol do you have? Here, look at this light. Okay, you're good to go. Really? That's scary. Now, good job for Dale Earnhardt Jr. on being able to come back to NASCAR next season. He said he's not going to retire. Well, good thing, because maybe he can do something else. Maybe he can win a championship. I'm kidding. That's never going to happen. But why is it that the NFL has such a cheap protocol? I mean, we're going to a point where we're distracting people. If you look at, like, how the football, the future of football, those commercials, you'll see these guys like, yeah, you know, we're up here in the booth, you know, we can pause the game by ourselves because we'll see these neck injuries and these head injuries. We'll say, hey, you know, we need to get this guy out of the game. Bull! Bull, you need to get him out of the game! How many times has Cam Newton been headshot this year and we haven't paused the game? That's blinding. Oh, man. The NFL is going to be unwatchable in 5 years. I've said it before and I'll say it again. In 5 years, the NFL will be unwatchable because of the gladiatorial stuff in it. It's sad. Chapman and Earnhardt, thank you guys for bringing this stuff to my attention, because now we have to talk stupid crap. It wasn't Dale's fault, though, so I don't have to give him credit for that. NFL Pro Bowl has been released with Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott making it. Make America's team great again, I'm just saying. Before the season started, go to soundcloud.com/MCXpodcast/UltimateNFL. And you will see two names. You will listen to two names that I called out on the first ever MC Experience podcast. Larry Fitzgerald will quote, turn back the clock this year. And I think I did pretty good on that. Kicker Matt Bryant, the Atlanta Falcons, had, because of last year's bad season, it was because Matt Bryant could not get them clutch wins. Those two guys made the Pro Bowl, and your boy gave you his 2 cents before there was a 2 cents podcast. Who's number one? Bingo! I'm just saying, I call those two guys. Matt Bryant made the Pro Bowl as a kicker. Only one kicker can make it from the NFC. I mean, not that Blair Walsh was going to be in any competition, I'm just saying. Or Catanzaro from the Cardinals. But I'm so happy for Matt Bryant and Larry Fitzgerald. And you know what I'm sure you guys are happy about? That this was the first ever 2 cents podcast. You know what, guys, I'm telling you. This is going to be big for me. This is going to be huge. All right? I have a few guests pop on if you want to join the show. I'll leave a hashtag for you guys to join it. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Carvelis. That's MichaelKarvelis. It's very simple to spell. Carvelis. The only problem you got is thing. The only thing you got to think of is it a K or a C? I'm just saying. Until the next podcast, this has been my 2 cents. What's yours? Let me know on Twitter. Adios, mi compadres amigos.